This is the sermon from June 7th, 2026. A sermon text is Genesis 15, 1 through 6. In our reading from Genesis, we get one of the great lines of the Old Testament. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. It's both simple and profound, like other memorable verses, John 3:16, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Right? Believe the Lord, be counted righteous. As we consider how this took place in Abraham's life, well, then we can take and apply these simple, profound words to our own lives as God's people today. So what is it that Abraham, or Abram at this point, still in Genesis 15, what is it that he believed? Years before this, back in Genesis 12, the Lord had called to Abram, telling him to leave his land and his relatives, even his old gods, and to go to a new land, one that the Lord would show him when he got there. It'd be a hard thing, right? Leaving behind everything familiar. But the Lord had chosen Abram for a great purpose, and he gave Abram a great promise. The Lord said to him, "And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." There's a lot tied up in those words of promise, right? God will bless Abram, make his name, his reputation, identity, great. He'll protect Abram from those who would do him harm. And especially, the Lord promises to make Abram's descendants a great nation, and that through Abram, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Right there, that promise concerning all the families of the earth, that's a universal promise, right? One speaking of all people. God had given such a promise before, right? In the Garden of Eden. It's the promise of the Savior, the one to come and deliver man from the curse that is on all men, right? The curse of sin and death. So we put these together, and the Lord is promising that the Messiah, the Savior, will come from Abram. So Abram sets off, and true to his word, the Lord blesses him. He increases Abram's wealth and possessions to the point that Abram and his nephew Lot have to split up. Right? The Lord protects Abram in battle when Abram has to fight four different kings in order to rescue Lot. The Lord gives words of blessing to Abram through the faithful priest Melchizedek. In all of Abram's travels, the Lord is with him. And yet, after many years, there's still part of the promise that seems to be missing. Speaking with the Lord in a vision, Abram asks God, "O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless." Does this mean that Abram is ungrateful for all that God has given to him? No, not at all. Not at all. The thing is, Abram is realizing that the greatest part of God's promise, that blessing for all people, that is still unfulfilled. You know, Abram's wondering, how can he become a great nation when his own heir isn't even related to him? How can he bless all the families of the earth when his own family has no child? Abram has been waiting and waiting, and yet, far from seeing the fulfillment of this great promise, he hasn't even been able to see the beginning, so he thinks. Now, the Lord hears Abram's lament. And what does the Lord do? Does he grant the fulfillment then and there? No. No, the Lord does this. "And he brought him outside and said, 'Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.'" The Lord responds to Abram's concerns about the promise by further telling Abram about the promise, by elaborating on it. Abram is worried that he doesn't have a child, and God answers by giving Abram his word of promise, that Abram's offspring will be like the innumerable stars of heaven. Now, maybe we wonder, well, what good would this do, right? What help is it if a person's doubting a promise to give them more promises? Wouldn't it be better just to fulfill the promise to cause Abram and Sarai to have a child right away? I mean, that would make sense to our human reason. But we see here that God works differently, right? He works much better than us. In response to Abram's doubt, God gives his word. And through that word, he grants faith. Abram hears the promise of God, and by the working of the Holy Spirit, he believes in it. He has faith, trusting that God is faithful, that God will keep his promise and will do what he knows is best when he knows is best. Abram believes that the promised offspring is coming to save him and all the families of the earth. And through that gift of faith, Abram is counted as righteous. He believes, and he's saved. We today are blessed to know how the fulfillment of the word took place. We know the rest of the story, if you will. We know that it came in Jesus Christ. Jesus was, through his mother Mary, the physical descendant of Abram. But Jesus was also the Son of God, and himself fully God, right? Being begotten from the substance of his Father from all eternity. That's something that Abram, and all people, must grasp by faith. Another aspect of the fulfillment not apparent to Abram is how exactly the Lord would bless people through his offspring. Abram was familiar with blessings from the Lord. He received many of them himself. But how the Lord would grant this blessing to others, and specifically what kind of blessing it would be, Abram couldn't know. He didn't know that it would be through the sacrifice of the offspring that the sins of the world would be taken away, which is the greatest blessing imaginable. Abram would get a glimpse of this when he was told to sacrifice his son Isaac, but even then he wouldn't fully understand it at the time. Likewise, Abram didn't know how people would be made his children. I mean, physical descent seems to be the obvious thing, right? But it's also totally insufficient. And the Bible makes it clear that this isn't how the blessing comes about. Right? Being a child of Abraham has nothing to do with having some of Abraham's DNA in your body somewhere. Right? Being able to go back on a family tree to find him. Jesus makes this clear in John chapter 8, where he states that regardless of the Jews' genealogy, that because they've refused to believe in him, they're not children of Abraham, but of the devil. Likewise, St. Paul writes to the Galatians, and he says, "Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham." And remember, this is coming from Paul. Paul has all the qualifications of the Old Covenant, right? He's an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He's a Pharisee. He's an expert in the law. But what does he say about all these things? He says, "For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ." The apostle points out that he's counted as righteous for the same reason that Abram was, believing in the promise of Christ. As those who are children of Abraham through faith, Abraham then serves as a wonderful example for us and for all Christians to follow. Like him, we too have been given many wonderful promises from God. He's promised to provide our earthly needs, to protect us from danger, being our shield, like he told Abram. He's promised to lead us in the way we should go, and also that he'll be with us every single step of the way. And especially, the Lord has promised us that he has taken away our sins, that he's given us new lives in holy baptism, that he's prepared a place for us in the halls of heaven, where we will dwell with him forever. These are wonderful promises. And like Abram, we do get to experience many of the blessings in this life. I mean, the reason that you and I are here this morning is because God has kept his promise to protect and provide for us, that we have had food to keep our bodies alive, clothes to cover us, this building in which we worship, the freedom to gather publicly without fear of persecution, that we all made it safely here. These are all things, and countless more, that are blessings from the Father of lights. And yet, as we receive these blessings with thanksgiving, we also long for the fulfillment of the promise received in our baptism. We've been cleansed from sin, and yet we still struggle with sin, right? Longing to be free from temptation. We've been given rooms in the Father's house, right? But we're still living in this world that is corrupted and broken by sin. Our Lord has conquered death at the cross and shown forth his victory at the empty tomb. And yet, we still gather at the graves of our loved ones, knowing that someday we too will be laid to rest. We're like Abram. We've received many blessings, but we're still longing for the complete fulfillment of God's promises. Our Lord knows our struggles. He knows our longing, just as he did with Abram. And like Abram, he does grant us comfort. That comfort doesn't come through immediate fulfillment, but, as it did for Abram, it comes through the promises of God. The Bible is so full of these promises that trying to find all of them would be like trying to number the stars. You'll always find more. For example, when we worry about the things of this life, our bodily needs, we have the words of Jesus. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. When we're confronted by temptations, and they seem to be on the verge of overwhelming us, our Lord, who, remember, was tempted as we were, as we are, our Lord reassures us through his word. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, so that you may be able to endure it. When we feel lost and alone in the world, then God speaks to us through the Psalms. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. When we worry about what the future holds, we hear, in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. When we mourn the death of those who died believing in Jesus, we're blessed to hear the words of Jesus spoken to those whom he loves. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Over and over, throughout the scriptures, the Lord gives us words of comfort, peace, hope. As we hear these words, God the Holy Spirit comes and he allows us to believe them, like we talked about last week. Right? God's promise to Abram seemed impossible, and yet through the Spirit's gift of faith, Abram believed. The Spirit is there, letting you believe that the words of Scripture aren't just collections of history and poetry and ethics, but the very Word of God spoken to you and to all. The Bible is God revealing himself to you, that you might have comfort and joy in him. Abram only ever got to see one son of the promise, Isaac, and yet by faith, he did see the fullness of the promise. As Jesus said, again talking to the Jews in John 8, Abram saw his day and was glad. In this life, we see only some of the fulfillment of God's word. The Bible tells us, for now we see in a mirror, dimly. But the day is coming when we shall see face to face. We will be gathered with all the faithful, all the sons of Abraham, more numerous than the stars, shining with the splendor of God himself. That is the promise that our Lord has given to us. and his word cannot fail. In the name of Jesus, amen.